as we're talking about religion today. And here's a story out of Ellensburg, Washington, another test of don't ask, don't tell. Now, that's the Pentagon policy on gays. We won't inquire. You shouldn't profess. But it's also what gay activists call the policy of the United Methodist Church. And it's making headlines because Karen Dahman, a minister from Ellensburg First United Methodist Church, wrote a coming out letter to her bishop. Now she may be facing a church trial and a possible removal from the pulpit. Are Methodists heading down the same road as Episcopalians, who may have created a schism in their church by confirming a gay bishop? What about other faiths? And what's going on at your place of worship? If your church, temple, or mosque is confronting the issue of gays and faith, gays and the clergy, join the conversation. Our number is 800-989-TALK, or you can email us, TOTN@NPR.org. And Larry Stammer joins us now. He covers religion for the Los Angeles Times, and good of you to join us on Talk of the Nation.
Good to be here, Neil.
Larry, tell us a little bit about Karen Dahman. The story's been going on for several years. Why is it coming to a head now?
Well, it's gone through a multi-layered judicial process. You're right. She did inform her bishop back in February of 2001 that she is a gay woman in a committed monogamous relationship with another woman. In fact, they have a 5-year-old son that they're rearing. So her bishop felt duty-bound to put this forward into the Methodist judicial system. And there were two panels that said, you know, there's not enough here. We're going to let sleeping dogs lie. But then it was appealed to the United Methodist Church's Supreme Court, what they call their judicial council. And they held that her appointment as a minister there in Washington State did violate the church's constitution, its book of discipline. And they insisted that that book of discipline, that constitution, must be upheld. And so they, in effect, remanded the case back to those original judicial bodies in Washington State and said, you've got to put this on trial. And my reading of the situation is that there's not much choice the way the lower court will have to respond. She very definitely will be put on trial, and the chances are very, very strong that she will be told that she can no longer minister as an ordained person in the United Methodist Church.
Well, does that book of discipline preclude gay clergy in the Methodist Church?
What it does, in fact, the words in the Book of Discipline says that what is prohibited includes, quote, self-avowed practicing homosexuals, close quote, from being ordained or serving as pastors. So it's pretty clear.
Now, is this likely to develop into the divisive issue as we've seen in the Episcopalian Church or in the Episcopal Church?
Well, Neil, that's a very good point, because this is just the latest manifestation of a long-running controversy, at least 30 years long, that a number of Christian denominations and Jewish streams have been wrestling with. We've got the Episcopal Church, as you mentioned, the Presbyterian Church USA, the Methodist Church, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. And within Judaism, the Reform movement and the conservative movements have or are still struggling with issues that pivot around the idea of homosexuality and its appropriateness. So it's a very, very big story and a very, very big issue for people in all these faith-based groups.
We're speaking with Larry Stammer, who's the religion reporter of the Los Angeles Times, about the issue of gay clergy, which is affecting more and more churches. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And Larry, it's been pointed out that Karen Dahman is hardly the only gay minister in the United Methodist Church. There are others, perhaps not as open as she is, but she's certainly not alone.
No, she's not alone, but it's a really interesting case study, isn't it, that she decided to come out, as it were, and there are consequences that are flowing from that decision. She decided to come out rather than to remain in the closet, to use her words, because it was more painful to be secretive. Gene Robinson, the Reverend Canon Gene Robinson, who is an Episcopal priest in New Hampshire, and was elected by the New Hampshire diocese to be their next bishop, is another one who decided to come out. And the consequences have been really stunning throughout the Episcopal Church and the worldwide Anglican Communion, of which it is a self-governing member. And schism is very, very much in the air. I've just returned from London, where I covered a meeting of the Archbishop of Canterbury and the 37 primates of various self-governing independent churches affiliated with Anglicanism around the world. And the day that Gene Robinson is consecrated as bishop, the following day, I think you can expect that several of the Anglican churches in the global south will sever relations with the Episcopal Church. I've spoken with their primates. They're going to do this. It's such a strong issue because the conservatives will tell you, and they feel this very deeply, that the real issue is not about human sexuality. The real issue, they say, is about the place of Scripture in the life and witness of the Church. How much importance do we place on what the Scripture written 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years ago, depending which ones you're talking about, how relevant is that in the life of churches and synagogues today? And liberals will say, yes, they believe in the authority of Scripture too, but the real issue is not the authority of Scripture, but how is it to be interpreted in view of what they call modern understandings about human sexuality. So this one is a very important issue for churches to confront. They have been confronting it. And what has happened with both Karen Dahman and Gene Robinson is they decided to speak out, and now there are consequences that are flowing from their decisions.
Well, if, as you say, the disciplinary trial of Karen Dahman goes according to the Book of Discipline, they don't seem to have a lot of leeway. She has also said that if she is, in fact, removed from the pulpit, she would hope that this would become an issue at their next general session, which I gather comes up in the spring.
Right. Well, as a matter of fact, at least one of the members of their judicial council, which determines the constitutionality of acts or proposed acts in that church, while she voted and said, yes, the Book of Discipline is clear, we cannot have a practicing a lesbian in this case as a minister in the church, the member of this court also said that she personally disagreed and that she hoped, I believe she said, that at some point down the road the policy would change. Mm. So this is a very yeasty, dynamic time, a very trying time, and a very exciting time, depending on your point of view.
Let's get a phone call in. Darcy joins us from Beaufort, South Carolina.
Hi.
Hi, you're on the air, Darcy.
I spoke to you just a little while ago. The church that we used to attend in the city we used to live in was an open and affirming church, and the pastor was a lesbian.
And which denomination was that, if you don't mind my asking?
It was the United Church of Christ.
Uh-huh. So this was not an issue in that church as far as you're concerned?
No, not at all, and that's actually what attracted me to the church. That issue, exactly what we're talking about, is what had kept me from church in my early adulthood. I wanted to feel like I could go to a church where anyone and everyone was accepted like they were.
Well, thanks for calling back, Darcy.
Thank you.
You know, Neil, Darcy makes an important point that liberals say. They say that this movement towards full inclusion of gay men and lesbians in the churches will be an evangelistic tool because people who have been put off by the church or have left the church because of its traditional stance will now reconsider and come back to the churches because of full inclusion. That's the liberal point of view. One that's voiced often by people who support folks like Karen Dahman and Gene Robinson.
Here's an email with a different point of view. This from Marilyn Wick. Raised Episcopalian, since then 30 years non-denominational, I believe an elder, pastor, priest must set an example, and gay is not a religious example. Gay is fine, but not for the clergy. So that's another point of view. Very briefly, Larry, who's having the conversations? Is this an issue for the congregants, or is this an issue really for the religious, the religious themselves?
Well, it's actually involving everyone from the grassroots to the hierarchies for those churches that have hierarchies, and the same within Judaism. Everyone has an idea about what they think about homosexuality, and so when it begins to be discussed in the context of a faith community, they have a real stake in it. In terms of the Episcopal Church, there are a group of Anglicans led by something called the American Anglican Council. Mm-hmm. They had a whole convention in Dallas just a couple of weeks ago to talk about this and decide their next steps.
We're going to obviously come back to this conversation, too. Larry Stammer, thanks very much.
Nice to be here.
I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.